Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Action Fund conference call. I will now turn it over to today's moderator, Angela Kelly. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thanks everyone for joining today's call. The purpose of today's call is to examine the likely immigration policies that a Mitt Romney and perhaps a Marco Rubio administration would pursue if they were elected in November. Now, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know whether Senator Rubio will be the vice presidential pick. We certainly don't know whether Mitt Romney is going to be the next president. But that said, there has been a lot of attention on Senator Rubio because he is Latino, a demographic that is very important in key states like Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida, which Florida, of course, being Rubio's home state. And currently, Governor Romney is polling at about 14% in the Latino community based on a recent Fox poll. So there's been a lot of attention. There's a lot of test balloons going up, both around VP candidates and also about immigration policies. Because both Mitt Romney and Marco Rubio have been so clear about the issue of immigration, we've released today an analysis that looks at what would be the likely legislative agenda and the likely administrative policies that they would pursue if elected. So on the line with us to discuss these likely policies and what their impact would be are two terrific speakers. I'll introduce them now. The first is Julian Castro, and he is the mayor of San Antonio. Mayor Castro was elected in 2009. He was reelected in 2011 with a whopping 82% of the vote. In 2001, Mayor Castro was first elected to the San Antonio City Council at an age of 26. In 2010, he was named to the World Economic Forum's list of young global leaders, and that same year, Time Magazine had him on the list of 40 under 40 list of rising stars. Mayor Castro leads a city that is that has the seventh largest Latino population. Mayor Castro has been an outspoken critic of the Arizona immigration laws, and he draws from his own personal family experience coming from a Latino family. Following Mayor Castro, I will give some highlights about the likely Romney-Rubio plan, drawing from our paper, and then our last speaker will be Dr. Silvio Manzano. Dr. Manzano holds a Ph.D. in political science from the University of Arizona. She's currently on the faculty of Texas A&M, and she's a senior project manager at Latino Decisions. Latino Decisions does in-depth analysis of the views of Latino voters. They are highly regarded, they're highly relied upon, and looked to as having the finger on the pulse of the Latino community. So why don't we start first with Mayor Castro. Mayor?
Well, thank you very much, Angela, and thank you for having me on the call. I'm Julian Castro, the mayor of San Antonio. Just as a little bit of background, San Antonio is now the seventh largest city in the United States with about 1.3 million people. 63.2% of our population is Latino. And, of course, issues such as economic development and immigration are important to every big city, and particularly for a city like San Antonio, whose demographic truly represents the future of Texas and is a window into the America of tomorrow. About a year and a half ago or so, we passed a resolution at the City Council in San Antonio opposing the Arizona-style legislation that more than 20 states in the United States have taken up. We did that because of a grave concern for the unworkability of the Arizona-style laws and everything from the fact that it would encourage ethnic profiling to putting police departments in an untenable position of being sued by folks because they believe that this type of law is not being enforced, to generally causing divisiveness within the society. I was glad that Texas decided to go in a different direction and did not adopt that style of law. And Texas generally has been a little bit more moderate than some other places. I'm concerned, and I've been concerned over the last year as I've watched Mitt Romney and his campaign as they've embraced the most extreme elements of the party on this immigration issue, particularly Jan Brewer, Governor Brewer in Arizona, and Pete Wilson in California, two folks who, for the Latino community, probably define the word divisive, two folks who have made Latinos feel as though they are not full participants in the American dream. I also believe that Governor Romney's calling Arizona's legislation a model for the nation is very far off base. And one of the things that I've found as mayor of a city is that people want practical, workable solutions. That's why oftentimes they do have more confidence in local government, and oftentimes why they feel that Washington, D.C. Is not as relevant to their lives, because they think things just get too tied up in politics. And so as we go into this 2012 campaign, I've also been concerned about the move that Senator Marco Rubio has made with his proposal for what he would call a compromised version of the DREAM Act, and most folks who have looked at it, who have analyzed it, feel is akin to cotton candy politics. You know, it smells good, it might even taste good, but it's really lacking in substance, because it wouldn't give these young people, these dreamers, who are here through no fault of their own, who are morally blameless, it would not give them a real opportunity to become citizens of the United States. And when I think about these dreamers, I often think about my own grandmother. My own grandmother came to San Antonio when she was about 5 or 6 years old from Mexico during the time of the Mexican Revolution. And she came and she was brought by relatives. And she didn't know at that time whether she had papers or not, but she was brought by relatives at that young age and lived her life in the city. She ended up working as a maid, a cook, and a babysitter to support my mother, and to help ensure that my mother was able to get a college degree and a graduate degree and to live out her American dream. And there are so many young people in our country who are in that very same position, who have a world of talent, they have brains, they have ability, they've done nothing wrong, and they deserve to become American citizens. And we're at a point in this debate about immigration reform where we're getting to the bottom of the barrel. At first, there was a legitimate attempt to get immigration reform done a few years ago, and the DREAM Act that we know now was supposed to be the Republican alternative at that time, something that they might be able to support. Now, Senator Rubio, just a few months before the 2012 election, and just as Mitt Romney is beginning his presidential search for a vice presidential nominee, has proposed something that is even worse than what was considered fairly weak just a couple of years ago. So it's my hope that everyone in Washington, D.C., whatever party they belong to, will take a pragmatic approach to this and come up with a solution on immigration reform, and particularly on the DREAM Act, things that, you know, an issue that 90% of Latinos support, that they'll take an approach that is pragmatic, that recognizes that you have a group of people who are here, who can contribute to the national economic strength in this 21st century global economy, and who just generally have a lot to offer the nation. And we see that every single day in cities like San Antonio. And so I'm glad to be a part of the effort to push for that.
Thank you so much, Mayor Castro. This is Angela Kelly again, the Vice President for Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And let me just say a couple words about the paper that we released today, which can be found at AmericanAction.org. And by the way, this call is being recorded. And what we tried to do in this paper is, as I said earlier, is to really kind of give, you know, an analysis, project forward based on what we've heard said, particularly by Governor Romney, but also more recently by Senator Rubio, of what they would do, right? If they were in charge, if they had the reins, where would they take the immigration policy horse? And I'm afraid they would take it right over the cliff. I mean, first and foremost, one would have to consider, as Mayor Castro said, who would they turn to? Who would be the advisors to a President Romney on immigration policy? And frankly, it's quite troubling. Probably the person that is most closely associated with Governor Romney is Kris Kobach. He's currently the Kansas Secretary of State, but he is the godfather of the state and local anti-immigrant laws and ordinances, most notably the ones passed in Arizona and Alabama and South Carolina. And while he may not be a name or a face that's recognized in English language press or that gets a lot of attention, I can tell you that in Spanish language press and among the Latino community, he is well known because of his very aggressive, nonstop restrictionist policies. And when Kris Kobach came out and endorsed Governor Romney, the response in the endorsement was that with Kris on the team, I look forward to working with him to take forceful steps to curb illegal immigration and support states like South Carolina and Arizona. So it's clear that that would be a he would be a great source of inspiration to a President Romney. And as was mentioned before, people like Russell Pierce, Governor Jan Brewer, former Governor Pete Wilson, the godfather of Prop 187. Congressman Lamar Smith, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, who tries to pass one restrictionist law after the other, and even Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who endorsed Mitt Romney back in 2008. These are all names and faces that are like the 12 most dangerous to the Latino community, and that's exactly how they would be perceived if the governor were to be elected president. Turning, though, to what would happen legislatively, there does feel like there would be two likely policies that a Mitt Romney and Marco Rubio would want to pursue. The first is supporting E-Verify. E-Verify, what they would want to do is to make it mandatory for all employers. It is, of course, a flawed Internet-based work authorization system. E-Verify has shown itself to be costly by decreasing tax revenue by $17.3 billion over 10 years. It has proven to be costly. It was projected to be costly to small businesses. It's estimated it would cost them $2.6 billion a year to use the system. And it's ineffective. A serious study of E-Verify shows that it only catches unauthorized workers about 46% of the time. But sadly, because of an error rate in the database, it would throw about 750,000 legal workers, including U.S. citizens, out of a job. They would lose their job. So this being what we would expect, a priority of a Romney and a Rubio in office is, of course, quite troubling. The second legislative priority, as the mayor indicated, would be the Dreamless Act, as we refer to it. The Dream Act has, of course, been introduced back in 2001, and for qualified eligible people, here without status, over time they would have a chance after attending college or being in the military to get permanent status and a clear path to citizenship. That's the Dream Act as we know it. The Nightmare or Dreamless Act that Marco Rubio has been discussing quite publicly in an effort, I think, to try to muddy the waters about where the Republicans have been on this issue, is one that doesn't have a clear path, as the mayor said. And it doesn't, it would create, frankly, for the first time, a second-class status of people who could never fully belong. And I think it speaks volumes of the senator that this is the position that he would put America's youth in, innocent youth who came here through no choice of their own, would never be able to get citizenship, or through only through a very indirect path. We don't know because the bill hasn't been introduced. Now, what those would be legislative priorities that a Romney or Rubio would want to pursue, and of course, you know, it has to go through a legislative process that is unpredictable and incredibly difficult. But here's what we know they could do. An administrative agenda that with a stroke of a pen could significantly change the face of immigration policy as we know it today. So here are among the things they could do. One, Governor Romney has been very clear about his support for Arizona-like measures. He would encourage Arizona paper pleas laws to go forward. If president, he has said that he would drop all DOJ lawsuits against Arizona-like laws and basically give free rein to the states to do what they want to do in pursuing immigration policies. The policies we've seen so far encourage racial profiling. In fact, they authorize racial profiling and really run against the demographic wave of this country where we're becoming more a country of color. And these laws discourage people from feeling that they belong in the country. Clearly not good policy. The second thing that a President Romney would do is end prosecutorial discretion as we know it. Prosecutorial discretion is a 101 principle of prioritizing, a law enforcement 101 principle of prioritizing who we go after. It's better to go after the worst of the worst, people here with criminal records, rather than the best and brightest like DREAM Act kids. This is an announcement that the president made, the DHS made last August. It's a policy being pursued by the Department of Homeland Security, and it is a policy that has been soundly criticized by Kris Kobach, who I described earlier, who would certainly be an advisor to someone like to Governor Romney. The last element that we are certain that if elected, that Governor Romney would make a priority is self-deportation. He has described over and over again as a centerpiece of his immigration policies that we should make life so difficult, pursue a strategy of enforcement so that people leave. Now, we know that people, in fact, aren't leaving. We released, the Center for American Progress released a report last month that shows that what, in fact, people are doing is simply moving deeper underground or moving to more friendly states. But if elected, someone like Governor Romney would do all that he can to encourage people to come forward for a period of time and put themselves in deportation proceedings and pursue Arizona-like laws that would make life so difficult for them that he would hope that they would leave the country. Again, very difficult to imagine that kind of law being effective in a country with such vast demographic changes over the last years and such a prominent and growing Latino community. So that, in sum, would be our nightmare scenario of what would happen if Governor Romney and Marco Rubio were to become president and vice president of the United States. Now, that whether they ever get to the White House, the road to the White House runs through the barrio. And here to discuss a little bit about where the Latino voters are on these issues and others is Sylvia Manzano. Sylvia, your thoughts on these kinds of policies.
Thanks, Angie. Again, my name is Sylvia Manzano, and I'm with Latino Decisions. And we've done a lot of polling on these topics and these individuals in particular, and not just during this last couple of, not just during these last couple of weeks or even just this particular presidential campaign, but we find a lot of consistencies across Latino groups on the very issues that both Romney and Rubio are talking about. So, to back up a little bit, the Republicans need some non-Republican Latinos to vote for them, right? I mean, presumably they figure they've got the Republican Latinos who are going to support them. But actually, with these issue positions that they're taking, we can't even be sure that Latino Republicans will support the ticket with these rather extremist points of view. If you look at the data that we have collected over the past 3 years, but over the last two in particular, we find that Latinos, even among Republicans, no matter what state they're living in, so whether it's a conservative state like Texas or a more Democratic state like California, no matter what state, no matter what party, the vast majority of them, as Mayor Castro said earlier, some of them are at rates of 90% in some places, but the vast majority, over 70%, support the DREAM Act. The vast majority strongly opposed 1070 kinds of policies. And so these positions, these policies, these candidates, really, they don't resonate with Latino voters, not the ones that they need, which would be swing voters, even Democratic voters, but they don't even resonate with Latino Republican voters. And so I think that to the extent they want to talk about issues that are especially important to Latinos, because Latinos tend to absorb the brunt of these policies, you know, we want to consider, are Latinos really their audience? You know, is taking a very antagonistic and enforcement kind of approach that places Latinos on the defensive, is that really going to appeal to a Latino voter who's undecided or who maybe felt like they were part of that political coalition? So one of the things that we know, right, there's no question, right, that the Latinos across all states, that we get, you know, well over 70% that are strongly opposed to SB 1070 type policies, right? So what kind of policies would they support? Well, they would support the DREAM Act. And there's a lot of cross-group support for it among moderates, among conservatives, among liberals, among Democrats. But Romney has already said that he'd veto a DREAM Act. And instead, they're, I guess, they're floating this other alternative, which sounds kind of like a guest worker program, but even a guest worker program that would have a path to citizenship isn't particularly appealing to Latinos either. We only get 14% of our survey respondents over the last two polls who said that they would be in support of a guest worker program. 14% is not very much. I mean, there are not enough votes, and certainly there's not enough votes on a guest worker bill to swing a state. The kind of policies Latinos want, we know what they are, and these candidates have told us they don't support them. The kind of policies Latinos don't want, we know what those are, and these candidates have said that they will support them. It doesn't really matter who the messenger is. By singling out immigrants or singling out Latinos, it's not an appealing proposition. Beyond immigration, Rubio and Romney take strong positions on several issues that the majority of Latinos don't share their opinion. With respect to health care, Rubio co-sponsored the Senate bill to repeal health care, and our January poll of this year showed that 57% of Latinos wanted it to stand. In our October 2011 poll, 73% of Latinos said they opposed any cuts to Medicare as a way to reduce the national debt, and Rubio said he supports the Ryan plan, which reduces Medicare spending. So I think it's probably not a surprise to most people that most Latino voters, regardless of state, regardless of partisan orientation, disagree with these particular positions that the party's taking. But it's not just that. It's a whole policy agenda that is just inconsistent with where most Latino voters are. I mean, the fact that these views are so problematic to Latino voters is something that Republicans themselves are well aware of. In the year or so after 1070, several Latino Republican groups emerged specifically to oppose their own party on this policy and the associated antagonistic rhetoric. And so it's just unclear to me who they think they're going to win over with these kinds of positions, because it's certainly not a moderate, liberal, Democrat, or Republican Latino, and those are all the ones who vote.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Operator, if you could just tell folks how they could queue up to ask a question, I'd appreciate that.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to inform everyone, in order to ask a question, press *1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Raquel Marrero with LA Opinion Newspaper.
This is Raquel Marrero from La Opinion. The political argument is the following. Obama has been the worst on deportations. He promised immigration reform, and he didn't deliver. On the other hand, Romney was for immigration reform in 2006, and Marco Rubio in Florida, when he was the speaker in Florida of the legislature, he supported something similar to the DREAM Act. So the argument that some of the Republicans are making is, look, you know, once Romney's primary campaign is over, he can turn around, and if he becomes president, he can turn around and actually support some kind of solution. But Obama has been awful. So that is a political argument. What is your take on that?
Let me take a stab at that. Sure.
Sure.
First, that's an argument. That's a narrative that's been forwarded out there, you know, by the Republican Party that I'm sure that we'll hear more of in the next few months. But there is a vast difference between a party that 90% or more of their representatives, their elected representatives in that party, the Democratic Party, will vote for not just the DREAM Act, but comprehensive immigration reform, and another party that, you know, hardly anybody, if anybody, will vote for comprehensive immigration reform or the DREAM Act. Those two parties are not in the same position. And when the numbers are boiled down, President Obama has not been successful with comprehensive immigration reform or the DREAM Act because no Republicans will go along with actually voting for that legislation. With regard to the deportations issue, the administration has made it quite clear that they're going to analyze these on a case-by-case basis in a nuanced way to ensure that they prioritize folks who have committed significant crimes, and so that these dreamers, these folks who are here who themselves are law-abiding folks who are adding to the brain power of America that, you know, they're not, I think, they're not going to find themselves in the position of getting deported due to this administrative policy change.
Yeah, I, Pilat, I would just add, I mean, it's really clear. We had a vote on the DREAM Act, and there were only three Republicans who voted for it. One who is no longer a Republican but is independent, Senator Murkowski. And when the DREAM Act was reintroduced, it didn't include the only Republican co-sponsor that it had had in recent years. On the House, when it took up a vote at the end of 2010 on the DREAM Act, there were only eight Republicans who voted for it. And you match that up against the list of very clear policies that Governor Romney would pursue: self-deportation, Arizona laws in as many states as possible, an E-Verify, a Dreamless Dream Act that would not give kids a chance to become citizens. I mean, those are extraordinary measures. In the case of Governor Romney, actually, with the Dream Act, he said he'd veto it, and he's only supporting it for military participation, which feels extremely cynical that Governor Romney would say, I will only give you citizenship if you carry a gun and go to Afghanistan, but I wouldn't give you citizenship if you go to college and you get a degree and you want to pursue your dream in the U.S. The cynicism, certainly people can, you know, throw around accusations, but the record is really clear that the Republicans have tried to block meaningful reform every step of the way for the last many years. And that's a record that's in Sharpie. That's not in pencil and not easily erased.
If I could just say one quick observation, I think that this is where sort of party brand becomes important. And by calling SB 1070 a model for the rest of the country, I think that that really puts the Republicans in a difficult position. I mean, looking to the architects of that policy to give national advice is something that I think will be very difficult to overcome. And I don't know that there's anything else that could sort of be more dramatic than embracing Laura Pryor and Governor Brewer and Kobach et al., and then referring to the policy as a model is seen as an offense to American citizens, right? American citizens, Latino voters, who have, you know, people even within their own party. And so I think that that's where the difference will be between Republicans and Democrats. While many Latinos, and we see this in our polling data, are disappointed with some outcomes from the Obama administration, I think that it's a harder sell to say that this party that has just said that this 1070 is a model for the country, we're going to veto DREAM, and these are the people we'll look to for advice about how to proceed with policies that are important to your community. I think that is a stark contrast from the Democratic Party that, while people might be frustrated with Obama, they might be able to identify some champions of immigration reform and the DREAM Act, and can look to people and point to them and say, oh, these people have been long-term supporters. So I think that those are bigger issues to put in context.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. Operator, are there any other questions, or could you remind people how to queue up?
Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Evan McMorris-Santoro with Talking Points Memo.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having the call. I had a question specifically for Mayor Castro. You mentioned the opening of the call that, you know, sort of the policies you put in place and how you've dealt with this issue as a mayor. I've noticed a lot of mayors out there speaking lately about sort of their experiences dealing with this issue and other issues on behalf of the president a lot of times, and sometimes pushing back on Republicans. I wonder if you could just sort of expand on what your experience as a mayor, sort of the things you have to deal with, and why that makes you a good spokesperson for issues like this, this Latino one specifically.
Sure. Well, you know, as mayor, what we mayors across the United States, but really, you know, in San Antonio as mayor, what I concern myself with is ensuring that the basic services of a city government are being delivered effectively. And one of those basic services is public safety. And our police chief, as well as police chiefs across the United States, including all over Arizona, where SB 1070 was passed, repeatedly have said that this type of law will make the community less safe, not more safe. And it'll do that because it will discourage folks from coming forward as witnesses to crimes. It's going to make folks more suspicious of each other. And the law, the way that SB 1070 was written, at least, will put police departments in a very tough spot by opening them up to frivolous lawsuits from folks. So when I think about what are the resources, how can we best use our resources in San Antonio to keep the community safe, we want to go after the significant crimes. We want to go after violent crime. We want to go after significant property crimes and keep that down. We don't want to have to use our resources essentially as federal agents doing the work that the federal government is and should be doing, and also doing it in a way that it's divisive within the community. That's not what we're about in San Antonio, and that's why I think you hear different mayors from cities speaking up against this type of law.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any other questions?
Your next question comes from the line of Juan Esparza, Budavita, in El Valle.
Yes, when you're talking about Republican leaders who have spoken on the immigration issue, can you refresh our memory on former Florida Governor Jeb Bush? Has he waded into this issue? Because I know that in the past he has been more on the side of pro-immigrant legislation. Can someone refresh your memory as to what he's doing right now on immigration issues?
I don't know that he's been saying very much about immigration issues. Your recollection is correct that he has been, former President Bush, his brother, much more moderate, much more reasoned voice that's wanted to have comprehensive reform and recognize that you shouldn't pursue policies that are based on making life so miserable for 11 million people that they'll just leave the U.S. But in more recent times, Governor Bush, Jeb Bush, hasn't been as engaged in the issue. He did endorse, although kind of late, Governor Romney. But beyond that, I don't actually think he has been outspoken at all.
Would he be someone that, if he was on the VP shortlist, that would sort of maybe help Republicans on the immigration issue?
I don't know how that works. When Governor Rick Perry was a candidate, there's one policy that he has supported in Texas, and that is to charge undocumented students who are Texas residents, which means that they've established residency in the state of Texas. They've lived here for several years, so their families have lived here, paid sales tax, other kinds of taxes, all the rest of it, graduated from Texas high schools. But they would pay the same rate of tuition. It's not a scholarship. It's not admission. It's saying you will pay the state rate of tuition. He was punished for it. He was heavily criticized, and a lot of the criticism turned into more antagonistic remarks about Latinos generally. So even when we've seen Republicans very recently try and take a more measured policy position that is not in lockstep with the party, they're pretty quick to rebuke.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions?
There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Well, thank you very much to everyone for participating on the call. And if the speakers could just wait for a moment, that would be great.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.